Greetings, friends, family, neighbors, and strangers. I'm Pastor Jacob Kukura of LaRange Alliance Church, and in this period of uncertainty, I'm glad you've taken some time to listen to me today. We're living in a time unlike any we've known in this generation, but we can take hope. Despite the struggle we might be enduring right now, we are not alone. People around the world are experiencing turmoil and sickness, but these are experiences that we have experienced before and we have endured. And I believe that we have much to hope for in the days to come. Some of you may know me only as a pastor or as a speaker, but it won't likely come as a surprise to you that I have some other skills, much as you likely have skills outside of your day-to-day job. Some of my extra skills have come as I've learned things over the years. I've worked in carpentry in particular, in construction work. I grew up watching my dad work with his hands and working alongside him and expanded those skills as I went to college. I did a number of different jobs like framing and different construction and demolition jobs over the years. And for me, building with my hands is a lot of fun. It really helps to have some carpentry skills and some handyman skills when it comes time to doing home repair and renovations, doesn't it? I've been working for a couple of years now to try and refinish elements of our house, repair work, and then also doing a finishing job on a portion of our basement. Although it's going very slowly, I've run into different issues over these last couple years, in particular in our basement. My foundation in my house is not very flat or very level, and there are a number of interesting sort of issues that our foundation has given us as we've tried to do some of these finishing jobs and repair work. A good foundation is essential in any building, and most of the time we don't think about the foundation. We enter a building and it seems fine to us. Only occasionally do we come across examples of foundations that have such major issues that we recognize that something has gone terribly wrong. And in those moments, we all acknowledge the vital importance of a good foundation. The Leaning Tower of Pisa is probably a great example of this. The Tower of Pisa is a famous landmark in Italy. It stands 55 meters high, and because of the poor soil underneath its foundation, it began to tilt. It currently tilts at about 4 degrees. That's significant when you think of how tall the building is. And the lean of this tower, because of its poor foundation, was actually discovered quite early on in its construction. Construction on the tower began in 1174. The foundation didn't compensate for this soft ground, and even just 2 years later, by the time the second floor of the building was begun, it had already begun to slightly lean. By 1972, nearly 100 years later, as the construction of the tower continued, the builders had begun to compensate for the lean, building the leaning side slightly taller than the non-leaning side, leading to a curving building, trying to compensate for the poor foundation. And when the tower was finally finished in 1372, and when the bells had finally been installed at the top of this tower, it was already known worldwide as the Leaning Tower of Pisa. There's an example of a bad foundation that we can find much closer to home. In the early 1900s, construction was begun on many grain elevators across Western Canada. And none might be more famous than the Transcona grain elevator that was built in Winnipeg in between 1911 and 1913. It was an enormous project, one of the largest of its kind, and when it was completed in 1913, it was celebrated as a marvelous structure. However, the very day after the celebration, the first day of its use, it was filled with grain. 875,000 bushels of grain was loaded into the structure, and instantly it began to sink and tilt. Within days, it had gained a sideways angle of 28 degrees. One side of the foundation of the structure had sunk nearly 30 feet, and the other had risen upwards by 3 feet. It took another year of construction to right the bins upon new concrete foundations driven deep into the ground. And it still stands today and is in use. As we open our Bibles together, I want to read a parable that will help us understand how important a good foundation is to our own lives. Will you turn with me to Luke chapter 6? I start in verse 46. Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood rose and a stream broke against that house, it could not shake it, because it had been built well. But the one who hears and does not do them," Jesus' commandments, "is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." The reason that Jesus may have used parables as a teaching method is that despite the fact that his disciples were constantly confused and asking for the meaning behind these stories, they were memorable. Parables require us to engage in the information, not just listen to it. We must make an effort to unpack and understand, well, what is it that Jesus means as he tells us his story? We often see different meaning depending on our viewpoint, which enriches our understanding and the conversation that we have as we piece together what Jesus desires that we comprehend. This parable speaks on many different levels. On the surface, it makes sense. A house on a good foundation will stand the test of time and the test of the elements. When rain soaks the earth, a good foundation will continue to stay true. A home on a poor foundation runs the risk of being washed away, or in the case of our examples, it might develop a disastrous lean. The key to this parable lies in how Jesus introduces his parable to his disciples. He is correcting to his disciples their inconsistency. They come and ask Jesus for his help, for his guidance, and yet they ignore his commandments, and they go their own way. We read again at verse 47. Jesus says, "Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock." Notice that there's a clear explanation as to how we're to understand this parable. We need to grasp this idea. It's vital for us who call Jesus our Lord to create a good foundation for our lives built upon knowing, understanding, following, and obeying his commands. In John chapter 15, Jesus talks about how important it is for us to remain connected to him. Read with me from John chapter 15, starting at verse 4. "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Jesus is telling us that being rooted, being established, being centered upon Jesus himself is vital for us to be connected through Jesus to God the Father. Notice how in verse 10, Jesus points at, he gives us a hint about how we might abide in him. And I read again from verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I don't believe that we can truly understand what it means to abide in Jesus until we learn to obey Jesus' commandments. I believe sincerely that if we begin here with this idea that we will abide in him and we will abide in his love. Notice how similar these two passages we've read today are. Each of them, our passage in Luke chapter 6 and our passage here in John chapter 15, they both point us towards obeying Jesus' commandments. In Luke, this gives us a strong, sure foundation. And here in John chapter 15, it shows us that the pathway to remaining connected to Jesus is in obeying his commandments. Both having Jesus become our foundation and abiding in Jesus requires us to hold to this daily pattern of knowing, understanding, following, and obeying his commandments. The question that we need to ask for ourselves is what that might look like. Many of us do not know Jesus' commands. As we read through the Gospels, we can quickly read a list or create a list of more than 50 different commands that Jesus gives. Abiding in Jesus, making him the foundation of our life, requires us to take a good, hard look at those commandments and then take a good, hard look at ourselves in the mirror and ask sometimes dangerous questions like, does my life look like Jesus' expectations? The process of pruning that's described in this passage we read in John chapter 15 is the process in which God uses different elements in our lives to move us towards bearing fruit. Some of you might experience embarrassment, shame, anger, frustration, or disappointment as you examine your own life. Perhaps you have some area of your life that you have needed to deal with for a long time, and it's been something you've avoided because it's difficult or because it's uncomfortable. Perhaps, though, you've become convicted about something more recently, or you've had a blind spot that a friend or even a stranger has pointed out for you. Your reaction to the blemishes of your life are likely the same as mine can be: defensiveness, denial, dismissal. We avoid our sin because we either don't want to face it or we don't know how to be vulnerable and humble. It can take a fair amount of strength to face those things down. I read in the book of Philippians with a friend of mine this week, and I am reminded now of what Paul has to say in chapter 3. Let me read this passage to encourage you today. Paul writes, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it on my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward toward what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Friends, join me as we press towards this goal. Instead of turning away from our sin, instead of succumbing to the fear, shame, anger, or even exhaustion that we might face, I encourage you to ask dangerous questions. Ask the Lord to show you an area of your life that you need to lay at his feet. And then join with me as we press towards the goal of attaining the prize that Christ calls us towards. Join me as I pray. Lord Jesus, the true vine. Thank you for teaching us in spite of our stubborn hearts. Thank you for your promise to forgive us, for your gift of grace that allows us the ability to be pruned when we need it, and for your faithfulness to not give up on us. Give us strength to face those things in us that are not bearing fruit, that are not firmly established on the foundation of your commandments. Give us strength to repent for that which we need to repent, and to move forwards faithfully following your commands in our daily lives. I pray that you meet each of us where we are today, and that we would allow you the room to speak to us, to work in and through us, so that we might in turn share the joy that you offer us as we rest in you. I pray that you would restore us from the physical, emotional, or spiritually drained places that we've lived. As we seek to be in your hands, would you in turn make us your hands in the community that we live? Praise be to you, our God and Father and the Holy Spirit. And through Jesus Christ, we pray amen and amen. Thank you for listening to me today. I look forward to the next time I can speak with you again.